Hi, everyone. Welcome. This is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise magazine and co-author of The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. And this is the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Passion Series, where twice a month we interview people who have been remarkably successful at following their passions and creating an extraordinary life. We host these calls in the hope that they'll help you get aligned with your passion so you can give your unique gifts to the world. You know, the great Indian sage Patanjali is said to have given this beautiful insight into the nature of a life that's lived with purpose. He said, "When you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends limitations. Your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a new, great, and wonderful world. Dormant forces, faculties, and talents become alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be." Our guest tonight has followed his passions to create an extraordinary life of purpose. He left the corporate world, where he was the chief marketing officer for a major company on Madison Avenue, to become one of the most successful and best-known personalities in the internet marketing field. Since 1991, Alex Mandojan has added value to his clients to generate over $233 million in sales and profits from short-form TV spots, infomercials, QVC and HSN airings, retail catalogs like the Sharper Image, Parade Magazine, USA Weekend, and Internet Marketing. Today, teleseminars are his primary money-making tool to boost sales and profits without having to spend a penny more on advertising. In fact, that is Alex's expertise. As he talks to us tonight, I'm excited and looking forward to hearing from Alex how he has been able to be so successful in using this principle of leverage to do much, much less and accomplish much, much more. Alex has consulted with Carnegie Training, with New York University, with One Shopping Cart, Mutuals.com, Pinnacle Care, Strategic Coach, and top business leaders like Mark Victor Hansen, Les Brown, Brian Tracy, David Box, Dr. Stephen Covey, and many, many others. He's a founder of audiogenerator.com, instantvideogenerator.com, askdatabase.com, all of which are powerful internet marketing tools, and he's also a founder of womenspowersummit.com. Alex runs his information publishing business today from the comfort of his home near San Francisco, California, where he lives with his wife, Amy, and his two kids, Gabrielle and Brianna. Tonight, he's joining us from Cabo San Lucas, where he is enjoying the suns of Mexico with his family. And Alex, thank you so much for being with us tonight and for taking time to share your vacation, taking time from your vacation to share your knowledge with us. We're really so honored.
Chris, I'm honored myself. I'm calling on a voiceover IP phone. The heavens have opened up here. We're experiencing a one-day tropical storm, and so if I get disconnected, I'll call right back. But my passion for this call is full throttle. I can't wait to get started.
Great. Thank you so much. And tonight, I'm very pleased to introduce all of you on the phone to Patrick Coffey of EarlyToRise.com, who's my co-host tonight. And Patrick is going to conduct this evening's interview. Early to Rise is a division of the multi-million dollar Agora Publishing Group that provides a variety of tools and programs to support all of us in living lives that are truly healthy, wealthy, and wise. And I encourage everyone listening to check out what Patrick and his team do by going to www.earlytorise.com. So, Patrick, thanks so much for being with us, and I'm going to turn it over to you now to conduct tonight's interview.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Should we get things started, Alex?
I'm ready when you are.
Okay. First of all, I just want to, you know, I feel like I'm interviewing Larry King here, because those who don't know, Alex is really the Larry King of the internet world. So I kind of feel like the tables are turned here, and I'm interviewing the master of interviews right here.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay. So let's dive right into this, Alex. Alex, as many of you know, some of you don't, you had a very successful career in the corporate world. How did your passions, the things which are most important to you, play into your decision to leave corporate America and start your own company?
It's an interesting question. It comes up a lot. And for me, corporate America, whether it's a 5-person company, 100-person company, or a 100,000-person company, To me, corporate America means living for someone else's passions. Now that I've gone through the process, back between the years of 1993 and the year 2000, I was living for someone else's passion. I added value to the company. I had equity in the company. I loved working there. But there was a challenge because there's a collision. There's a moment in time, and I remember it like it was yesterday because it happened to be October 25th, the year 2000, when my son Gabriel was born, and that was at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. And I remember watching him with his little beanie on his head, you know, to keep the baby's head warm, and my wife, Amy, is sleeping after, 18 hours of labor, exhausted. And I thought to myself, you know, wow, I have really been in a collision of passion. And the interesting thing is, back then, I didn't have the passion test. I've read it several times now. But, you know, when Janet and Chris asked the question, you know, when my life is ideal, I am blank. And then filling in that blank and, you know, going through that passion test. If anyone is here as a result of an invitation I sent, please take that passion test. Get a few books for yourself and everyone else, because I didn't have that tool. And so what I asked myself that evening is, what am I really living for? What am I really living for? And, you know, I was studying the works of Joseph Campbell back then, and he has a great quote, which reads, the privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. And at that moment, who I was my family, but I was working as a workaholic, Patrick. I mean, I was working 16 hours a day. I don't know if you're familiar with New York City, but if you come home before 9 p.m. at night, you're not working hard enough.
Wow.
And so, you know, people come back to their apartments and to their studios and one-bedroom, two-bedroom apartments, and they'll be in three-piece suits at like 9, 10 o'clock at night, and that's normal. That's just the way life is in Manhattan. And I lived on the Upper East Side in Manhattan. I worked on Madison Avenue. I loved what I did, but I was living into someone else's passion. And that was the story of my life. And I didn't realize back then it's just my story, but I realized that there was a collision between personal and professional passion. And so if I take the passion test these days, I ask myself, you know, when my personal life is ideal, I am blank. When my professional life is ideal, I am blank. Whatever that blank is. And it's a very elegant yet simple test to take. And what I realized back then is there was no way I could enjoy my family life if I were to work for another company, because I was really at their beckoning call of travel. I had equity in the business, but that really wasn't a source of security for me. So I gave 3 months notice, and at that moment, from the 25th of October all the way through December 15th, when we actually took off from JFK Airport and landed at the San Francisco International, I knew that of the competing passions I had between personal and professional, personal won out. And it won out, and I was scared. I was terrified. And check this out. We're on the runway, and it was snowing, and it was icy. The runway was icy, and the plane actually skid out, and my wife, had my 3-month-old baby Gabriel, you know, in her arms, and her fingernails just dug into my forearm. She was terrified.
Oh wow!
You know, and I was terrified, but not for my life. I was terrified. How
is
am
this
I going to feed my family?
Yeah.
So I'd love to tell you that it was all planned out. I'd love to tell you that it was such an elegant plan that I had, but it was sloppy. It had nothing to do with a plan. It had everything to do with my passion, which just came from my heart, knowing that I could not reconcile the competition between family and my profession. And I have to attribute most of it to Amy. You know, I thought that I went into my marriage thinking that I'd be a good personal teacher and trainer to my wife, and I'd be a good student to my kids. It turns out that my wife has been a good personal trainer for me, and my wife and my kids have been good students. So it's just the opposite of how I came into it. And I'll never forget that when personal and professional passions collide, I decided to choose the personal. And my wish for everyone listening is not to make that choice for themselves, but just to, you know, decide what's personal, what's professional. Mm-hmm. And when those two species collide and crash, which one is
more important? But what about those, you know, those of us who do love our jobs and find passion in the work we do? You know, is it possible to find passion in not necessarily corporate America, but, you know, the job for the company you work for?
Mm-hmm. I think it is. I mean, for example, there's no reason why as a corporate executive at a VP level, a C level, or even in the mailroom, there's no reason why you can't turn a hobby that is part of your passion into something that is professional. The difference between an amateur and a professional is $1. And the way I made my transition from the corporate arena to becoming an internet marketer is after my son was born, I gave 3 months notice to my company that I was working for. And I realized then the first day of work is not the most important day. It's the last day. It's how you are defined as an executive or someone working for someone else. How do you leave? Because you're taking that day with you. So that part was planned out. I gave 3 months notice, and basically I took a $300,000 dive in income. I went from $300,000 a year to zero. Literally,
wow, that's
overnight.
Quite a risk.
It's huge. Well, I didn't know there was no other choice for me because we had no babysitters on the East Coast. We had no family on the East Coast. My mother-in-law took a trip out and said, if you don't leave Manhattan, you will lose your marriage. You will lose your family. And I thought, wow, that's kind of an alarmist approach. But looking back and the way I was working, you know, she was absolutely right. So I signed a non-disclosure with my company. All the contacts I had generated over 8 years, you know, those were all gone. And I don't need to remind anyone, 2001, you know what happened in the San Francisco area, right?
Yes.
I mean, the bubble burst. There were no jobs. Of course, that was the year of 9/11 and those atrocities. And basically, I went from, you know, 300K, you know, to zero. But here's the thing, and this is going to sound a little fairy tale-ish, but, and maybe, it may be surprising. I don't know how it'll come across, but it is possible to go from zero to making a little bit of money, to make a living in a year if you follow your passion. And my passion professionally was training. And my passion personally was, you know, living with my family and making sure my kids recognized me before I'd grow old. Mm-hmm. And that goes for my wife too. I didn't want to follow the footsteps of many of my colleagues who after a lifetime, you know, maybe they're in their 60s and 70s, is that all there is? And
yeah. That actually kind of leads on to my next question is, you know, can you tell us the story of how you made the transition from the corporate arena to becoming one of the most well-respected and successful online marketers?
I did the same thing. Rather than training my corporate executive colleagues and people within, you know, the vendors within the corporate executive arena, all I did is I trained my own students and I became an expert in a niche that nobody wanted, and that was postcard marketing. That was strategically done. No one wanted to be a postcard marketing guru. It's kind of like, you know, plagiarizing a comic book for many people. It's like, what's the big deal about postcards? But, you know, I launched marketingwithpostcards.com, which is still up right now. I launched it in April of 2001. I did work like an animal. I mean, you know what it's like, you know, day and night working like an animal, but I was doing it for myself.
Yeah, and overlooking your family at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I did take a step back, but I was doing it at home. And although I was working the same hours, check this out, this is what's interesting, although I was working the same hours, I was doing it at home. So I could take a 5-minute break, I could take a 10-minute break, and go and check in on Amy, or go in and check in on Gabriel, who was my only child at the time. 2 years later, Brianna came to the world. So even if I'm working just as hard, this is my experience, it may be different for others listening, I'd rather work the same amount of time and take an 80% cut in income, because that's what ended up happening. I'll tell that story in a second. I'd rather do it at home. And at that time, it was from a one-bedroom home. And so I went from $300,000 a year to $63,700. I went pro in 2001. I made my first dollar in April, and I just kept doing the same thing, training, teaching, and in 2002, that annual income became a quarterly income. In 2003, that annual income became a monthly income. In 2004, it became a weekly income. In 2005, a daily, and it's become an hourly income. in 2006. I've done that amount, you know, like six or seven times this year. One time in less than 10 minutes. I haven't done anything different, Patrick. Honestly.
Oh, that's amazing. And the one thing I would say is it sounds like, you know, the time that you can't put a value on the time that you were able to spend with your family. And, you know, I'm sure that you would make the same decision today, even if you were still making that, you know, $63,000 a year.
I don't know. It's a tough decision to make. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I feel like an overnight success in 5 years in the making, but
mm-hmm.
The closest analogy I can think of is bamboo. You know, it takes, bamboo is the fastest growing tree. It's really from the grass family, but I use this analogy a lot when I'm speaking. It takes 3 years to get established, but once the shoot emerges, it grows about 12 inches a day, and it goes all out for 60 days, and it reaches its, you know, peak potential and heightened, you know, diameter, and then it's growing for another 10 or 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but these colonies, you know, start growing. So, that's the way it was. No one got to see the stuff that was, happening underground for me. No one knew, you know, the pain or the fear
mm-hmm.
until, you know, when the annual income became a monthly income, I felt like I had a rock. But that took 3 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So are people willing to take, you know, pay the price for passion? I think it's worth it. And I think everyone listening, even if you just had a passion on the side that was a hobby. And you went pro, and you made a result. If you have a job, and you need the same amount of income. But if you have a job on the side, say on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and if you match your wage, then I think you have a choice. You've just doubled your income, and you have a choice without taking the risk that I did, that was really launched upon me because of the collision between family, you know, personal and professional. So the first thing I would do is not do it the way I did it. Is, you know, try to do something on the side, have additional tax advantages, and whatever it is, match your existing corporate income if you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, don't you think you have a better choice at that point, more intelligent choice?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know many of the readers and listeners, you know, this is something that they face is, you know, how do they overcome the fear which arises when they think about following their passions or pursuing their dreams? And there's, you know, there's no guarantee of financial support when you make those types of decisions. You know, could you explain a little bit, you know, how you've dealt with that issue and, you know, what advice could you give to the listeners who are facing that same dilemma?
Well, the first thing I'll say, and I'm going to be frankly, you know, candid and brutally honest right now, and transparent, which we'll talk about, I think, in a little bit. But you have, anyone listening, if you're in a corporate environment, you have no guarantee. In fact, you have less of a guarantee than if you were an entrepreneur working on your own. Their history in the last 5 years is littered with examples of people who have lost pensions, and many people on the call right now may have been one of those people. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that fear. Because I just felt like every day may have been my last in a corporate environment. So the easiest way to overcome the fear is utilizing five principles that I have followed. And these aren't written anywhere. These are just private principles I've read. They're as immutable as gravity. I mean, if I were to drop a pencil right now, it would drop and it would hit the ground. If I dropped it again, it would hit the ground and is very predictable because gravity is predictable. These principles, the five, and if you have a pen, just grab your pen right now. If you're listening, just write these down. They work for me. And I think it's possible to make your annual income into a monthly. I don't know if it's possible to make it into an hourly, but definitely into a monthly income if you follow these principles, because they've worked for me and many of my students. The first, and this is the easiest one to get involved with, the first principle is apprenticeship. You know, Ross Perot talks about this. If you want to, you know, live into a type of business, if you want to start a business, don't start one. Become an apprentice. In fact, don't buy a franchise. Work in one. You know, work as the person who is sweeping the floors or work in the mailroom. I mean, I remember when I was reading about Jack Welch's story. I mean, he started at General Electric in the mailroom. And so become an apprentice and find out how the company works. You'll find out more at an apprentice level, working for free than if you were paid. Because when you're paid, for some reason, things are withheld. you know, by the higher-ups of the people running the company. So the first principle is apprenticeship.
Yeah, I definitely second that, Alex.
I mean, you came in through customer service, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely, working, you know, with Michael Masterson and Will Bonner. And, you know, luckily it was a paid apprenticeship, but, you know, I definitely, you know, looking back on it, I would have done it for, you know, practically nothing.
There's no better way to learn about a client's hidden desires or even fears, in, you know, toward any type of product or service than to work at customer service because, you know, you're in the trenches. I always ask, when I used to do consulting, the first thing I did is I never talked to the CEO or the sales force. I went straight to the call center. I said, I would ask them, what are the five most frequently asked questions you get? Mm-hmm. And the C and VP level would be shocked at some of the questions that they would get. So apprenticeship is number one. Number two principle, unique ability. You have to find your unique ability. This is what one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan, has taught me. And unique ability is something that is absolutely unique to you. I think Janet and Chris talk about unique gifts. Unique ability is passion plus talent. And it's interesting because talent is what you do. Passion is why you do it, right? So if you got to find your unique ability. What makes you unique in your ability to do things? What could you do all day long and still keep doing it? For me, it's training. I could do it for hours. I could do it and lose sleep. And I've figured out a way to monetize it. So finding out your unique ability is the second of the five principles. Here's the third, and this is kind of funny. We talked about this when we were preparing for this call, but proclaim prudently. Proclaim prudently. When someone is about to launch into a new career or into a passion, my experience, and this is, I'm guilty of this, and forgive me for stating this if this is the first time you're hearing me say this, but it is what it is. I vomit on the people about my passion. It's like, here's all of it. Take it, right?
Yeah.
People don't want that.
Yeah.
They don't want to be vomited on. You know, it's like, they say, hey, how's it going? Oh my God, I'm an amazing trainer. I just started. How much are you making? Nothing. I just started. But I just read this great book and this course and I'm going to be just like such and such. And so, you know, I hear that a lot, especially in the beginning stages, and then all of a sudden, boom, the passion is extinguished. It's not the other people's fault, you know? So proclaim prudently. Just give little bite-sized chunks. That's like a defense mechanism. Don't talk about it. I found that that energy, that the spiritual energy that gets pent up, you know, I don't want to let it go until I'm really, really ready. I mean, Ross Perot used to say that the key to marketing is ready, aim, fire, 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 fire. It's not ready, fire, aim, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And proclaiming prudently is key. And so I love the alliteration, and it's one of the principles. So apprenticeship, find your unique ability. Proclaim what that is prudently. Okay. The fourth principle is going pro. And this is key. If you know what your passion is, there's a part of that passion that can at least make $1. If everyone could envision right now the distance, like just in YouTube, passion, if you can envision like a horizontal line off a sheet of paper. In fact, if anyone has a sheet of paper, just draw a horizontal line and maybe it's 6 or 7 inches, you know, from one end of the paper to the other. And you draw a little dot on the very left-hand side, and then go all the way to the end and draw a dot on that side. So you have two dots on each end. And then go about half an inch to the left of the dot on the very right. So go from left to the dot you just drew. There's three dots now, the one on the very left, and then one over about 6.5 inches, and then another one about a half an inch past that one. Okay? Now the dot from the very beginning on the left-hand side, that's an idea. That's the idea of wanting to make money from your passion, you know, going pro, how to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The dot at the very end, the very, very end, on the tip of that line, a horizontal line, is $1 million. The dot just to the left of the $1 million dot is $1. I firmly believe that making a dollar is 90% of the journey. Because then you've been validated. You have gone pro. You've made a buck. And that's what really sets you apart from an amateur. So rather than going after the $1 million, which most people do,
Yeah.
They get really excited, right? They vomit on everyone. They don't talk about, you know, proclaiming prudently. Their unique ability starts getting, you know, broken up because they get negative feedback. And they've never been an apprentice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at it, is, you know, what can I make my first dollar on? And focus on that dollar versus $1 million. I firmly believe, in fact, I've proven it with students. It's so easy to embrace that. It's a lot easier to embrace the $1 than the $1 million. So that's the fourth.
Yeah, it definitely seems, you know, a lot more attainable, but yet, you know, like you said, that's more than half the battle.
I think it's 80% of the battle, because after you've made your, you know, your first dollar, it's kind of like, okay, the bamboo shoot has just seen the light of day, and then it grows up to 12 inches a day. But no one was watching when it was underground. It took about 3 years to gestate. All they see is, hey, it's the fastest growing plant on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so going after that first dollar and finding the first dollar you can make the fastest, even if it's, you know, even if it's a $1 teleseminar, why, I encourage everyone to have a $1 teleseminar, because now you've gone pro. You've just become a validated professional. I encourage everyone to do that versus going after the $1 million. And then the fifth principle, and this is going to sound odd if you haven't heard me before, but seeking roadblocks, embracing roadblocks, seeking opposition, seeking resistance, seeking obstacles, and just specifying what those are. And the reason that's so important, and really Dan Sullivan, my mentor, taught me this. He says, you know, all those things that seem to oppose our goals are actually the raw material for achieving them. So I think the mind is hardwired into finding opposition. You know, you have this vision, and then there's always something to oppose it. Well, if you seek that out in advance, then it's not going to bite you. It's not going to hit you like a shovel to the forehead, you know, by surprise. You know it's there. And the funny thing is, anyone can do this. Right now you can do it. For every opposing thing that's causing resistance or is a roadblock to a strategy leading to your passion or wanting to monetize your passion, there's an opposing strategy.
Mm.
You know, most people go straight to strategy, and then boom, all these roadblocks come up. But if you seek the roadblock first, or the opposition, and then find individual strategies that dissolve and just dismember the opposition, it makes a lot, you know, life a lot easier, and you can monetize your passion. So the five principles, I'll just reiterate.
Definitely. And those on the phone, if you haven't written this down yet, just grab a piece of paper real quick, because these are really key.
Number one, apprenticeship. Apprenticeship. One of the world's wealthiest people on earth. You know, Ross Perot talks about apprenticeship. I remember when he was running for president, you know, he said the biggest mistake professionals make and entrepreneurs make is they don't become an apprentice. They dive right into it. And then there's trouble and struggle. The second is, find your unique ability. Find your unique ability. This is what Dan Sullivan teaches with Strategic Coach. And to me, it is the single most important thing that I do. I'm a probing innovator. That's how I define my unique ability in two words. I'm a probing innovator. And the ask methodology, which is Socratic, I probe and then I innovate through probing. It just doesn't come from the top of my head. And unique ability is passion plus talent. Passion is why you do something. Talent is what you're specifically doing. It's kind of the way Janet and Chris talk about passion and goals are different. Well, you know, talent is different than passion. And then number three is, and this is key. I'm sure we'll get some feedback on this because of what I'm saying, but proclaim your unique ability and your passion prudently, especially to the ones you love. Okay? And if you don't do that, then many times you'll get knocked down before the passion has, you know, before the roots have gone deep and before the bamboo is even allowed to grow. And then number four, go pro. Go for just going pro. Doesn't mean $1 million. Doesn't mean $10 million. $1. That marks the difference between an amateur and a professional. $1. It's so much easier to embrace $1. Look at this question. How can I make $1 million with my passion versus how can I make my first dollar?
Yeah, definitely a lot more attainable.
Yeah, and it just reframes the mind. And then the fifth.
And it gets the positive attitude going, where if you said, how can I make $1 million? You'd be like, well, I don't know, but how can I make $1? Yes, I can make $1. Of course I could do that.
When I went on my own, check this out, Patrick. When I went on my own, I failed for 3 years if I would have asked myself, how do I make my first $1 million?
Mm-hmm.
I would have failed for 3 years, and I would have probably given up. But I made my first dollar on the Internet on my own in April of 2001. And I continued to make my first dollar, so it just kept cascading. So I had a lot of positive feedback. And then the fifth principle is seeking roadblocks. Go for them. Check out what they are. What are the obstacles? That's positive. Mm. That's not negative. That's not, that is, you know, when you talk about a SWOT theory in corporate America, strengths, mm-hmm. weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. A threat is a roadblock. If you go in responsibly, what is responsibility? The ability to respond. If you can respond to opposition of any kind with a strategy, it makes life a lot easier. So I would seek out the roadblocks in advance, because all those things that oppose your goals and passions are actually the raw material for achieving them. I didn't say that. One of my mentors, Dan Sullivan, said that. I'm an apprentice of my mentor, mm-hmm. and everyone should be an apprentice. And so, I would say that's the easiest and most, the clearest explanation of how to overcome those fears to get to achieve your dreams. It's a tough question, but that's the best I can do right now.
Well, Alex, I'm going to go ahead and challenge you a little bit here. Well, clearly, you know, everybody knows by now that, you know, your expertise is in training. But, you know, a lot of people who take the passion test and, you know, get clear on what their passions are, the most common question they ask is, how do I support myself doing what I love? And, you know, how do I go about answering that question? You know, obviously, it's an easier, you know, to see how you make money off of training. But, you know, how do you make money off of other passions? And, you know, how do you answer that question to find out what to do exactly with your passion?
Well, first off, as a preamble to my answer, is I'm talking to you 5 years later, when an annual income became an hourly. Let's rewind to December 15th, the year 2000. Mm. I am terrified. I am terrified. How am I going to feed my family? I had the same terror inside me, like, how am I going to do this? You know, I burn the ships behind me. All I can move is forward. You know, there's really no room to budge. I made my only choice. I'm going to follow what I truly, truly have fallen in love with, which is training. And so I had no idea what that was going to look like. And if anyone's in that place right now, you know, if you go to bed scared, if you go to bed terrorized or frightened, I was there probably longer than most. And I can remember myself waking up and, you know, crying in my sleep. How am I going to, you know, feed my family? Because, you know, there's a certain lifestyle in New York City at $300,000 a year versus going to zero. So going, you know, to rewinding back, it was not a fun thing. But that is exactly how you know that you are on the verge of a breakthrough, when it's uncomfortable, feeling that level of discomfort. So my answer of, you know, how do you support yourself doing what you love? The easiest answer that I have found for myself is breaking down your passion into bite-sized chunks and focusing on those things that will make you $1, mm-hmm. not $1 million, just $1. Because it doesn't end with a dollar. It just completely restructures your thinking. If you're going after a buck, it's not a lot. You can do that as an affiliate and selling other people's products. You can mm-hmm. do it. You can easily do it as an originator of an area of passion that you have. If you're an apprentice, you know, I have a three-step process that I tell my students they have to go through. The first is being a student. You know, that's an apprentice. And then the second stage is just being an affiliate. In other words, now you're a graduate assistant. You've learned. You share the same passion with your mentor. You have the security of a mentor. You know, every great sage has had a mentor. I mean, Plato had Socrates. Aristotle had Plato. Alexander the Great had Aristotle. So there are great mentors, you know, in history. And if you find, you know, a great mentor, then that automatically makes you into an apprentice or a student. The next phase is being an affiliate, or, you know, spreading that word. So it may not be your only passion, but it could be someone else's, and they're in alignment with yours because they're your mentor. That's kind of like being a graduate assistant. The third phase is being a partner or a colleague, and that's where, you know, you go out on your own. So you could go pro with someone else's product who shares your same passion. If the only thing you did, and this is what I did, I found people who had the same, you know, types of passions I did in training. I found the best trainers in the world. And I worked for them for free. I was an affiliate for them for free. I wouldn't even get paid. And then I started going out on my own, and I learned what not to do. So I think the most important thing to supporting yourself is go after the $1. Become a professional. If anyone is right now probably smiling, nodding yes, but when you go pro, you are validated as a professional, and if you've monetized your passion, then you know that it's a lot more important than what the goals that you have in life. I think Janet Atwood said that passions are how we live our life. Goals are the things we choose to create. Well, you know, passions, how we live our life, if that is, if you're able to make a dollar from a passion, and that dollar turns into two, and then four, and then eight, and it's possible, because if what you did created a dollar, you're not going to just make a buck. Once that passion is monetized to where your existing income, if you have one, is matched by your passion income, then I think it's safe, you know, to make a choice, because now you've doubled what you're bringing in, and you can either say, okay, I'm going for my passion, and, you know, forget this other job or this other wage, or you can keep going. I know people, I have students, they don't, you know, they don't, you know, cut bait, you know, from what they're doing on their quote-unquote corporate, you know, job or their current wage until they've made three times as much from their job, you know, that they're creating with passion. There's very little risk. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It may take a year. You know, it may take 2 years. I say the first year, you're a student. The second year, you're an affiliate. The third year, you're a partner or you're, you know, you're a colleague.
So you just start with those little chunks, one step, one piece at a time.
One step at a time, one piece, $1 at a time. And if anything, you know, if you remember from this call, going pro means making a dollar. Okay, if that's all you did, watch how that feels. If you haven't done it, try it. If you have done it, remember how it felt. I remember it like it was yesterday. I made $247 in one sale. I'll never forget it. I didn't make another dollar for another week after that. That was,
but you made that one sale, yeah.
It validated me. Like, hey, I was loved.
I may be onto something here.
Yeah, I'm onto something. So many, you know, feel that what I have to say is important. So the first dollar, I think, is the key to making that switch. And that's the easiest way to support yourself, you know, doing what you love. Start with a dollar. You can't make a million, Patrick, without making a buck. And all a million is cascading dollars. And so if you go pro and just think of, okay, I'm an amateur now. I haven't made any dollars, any money from my passion. I want to go pro. Just make $1 and make sure that you reward yourself, and because that's a cause for celebration. And I'm not really big on telling a lot of people about it. Just keep that energy to yourself, just to your loved ones and ones who are closest, because, you know, people are going to say, big deal, you made a buck. But think about what that represents. One day, you know, that annual income may turn into a monthly or even hourly. So it all starts with a buck. And if it's
that's
not just
that
me,
first step.
First step. The absolute first step is a buck.
Yeah, earlier on, we kind of touched upon this, but it's something I'd like to bring up again. And actually, I had one question in mind, but maybe we need to just clear up what it is for the people who don't understand. Is, could you explain a little bit about, you know, what transparency is, and you know, what do you mean by when you say being transparent?
Well, transparency to me means being trustworthy and seeing through any hidden agenda. You know, being predictable. Okay, so I'm going to be transparent right now. There's everything that I believe in and everything that I've talked about is embodied in a marketing campaign that I'm doing right now. And it's called Promote with Passion. It's at promotewithpassion.com. Now, that's transparent. I want everyone to listen to that call. It's a $20 call. Boom, that's transparent as well. You know, so you know what to expect. It's predictable. Some people will go there. Some people won't go there. But I don't know. Yes.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a minute. This is Chris, because we had some problems with that link tonight. So we've created a new link, which is healthywealthyannasanancywise.com/Alex. And that link is working, Alex, just so you know. It goes to that virtual booktour secrets.com page.
Okay. healthywealthyandwise.com/Alex. Okay, so for me, transparency is unpredictable of what to expect when you go there. So I talked about a little bit, make your first dollar. When you proclaim in small nuggets or chunks so that you're not giving too much to people. So being transparent, if you're going to promote what you're passionate about, someone has to get started some way to promote and make money with their passion. Many times, rather than doing it in little bite-sized chunks, they try to give all the information at once. So here's the concept. There is a $1,300 four-module teleseminar course that I'm training people in October and November. So this is a concept. Anyone who's a marketer and anyone who does teleseminars, just take these notes down because this is a proven concept. In fact, Patrick, you know, we've done this with my
Patrick. Yeah, absolutely.
Well. Okay, it works. So here's the deal. I have a very passionate concept that I'm very passionate about. That's selling more books or information and doing it without a publisher, without needing to get published, and proving the concept, making your first dollar selling books, rather than having 2,000 extra books or information products in the garage, doing it first and then maybe going to a publisher or maybe not needing a publisher or joint venture partner, you know, not relying on others. So here's the concept. You have a $1,300 course, like I do, but rather than try to sell that and promote that, what I do transparently is I say, look, I'm going to have a $20 preview call. Now, the word preview makes me transparent because I'm telling him it's a preview to something else. I tell him I'm going to promote to you, and I'm going to train you simultaneously. And the $20 is absolutely guaranteed for 365 days after the event. You can choose to come on board for another $1,300, or you can choose not to come on board, or you can ask for a refund if you didn't think I trained you well enough. But in 2 hours, I will train and teach you my virtual book tour system. Okay, that's a transparent dialogue, what I just did.
Yeah.
I'm not holding back on anything. It's a $20 decision. I'm not vomiting on anyone. All I'm doing is I'm telling them, hey, $20, you want to listen? I'm going to part the curtain a lot so you're in the position of making a decision. Transparency, as far as being predictable or having no surprises, it's kind of like when people say, no, I trust him or her. I don't trust him or her. To me, trust is not good or bad. It just is. If a dog bites my hand and consistently bites my hand, I don't put my hand in the vicinity of the dog's mouth. I trust the dog. I trust the dog
yeah.
will bite me. But if the dog licks the palm of my hand consistently, I trust the dog. The dog is friendly. But if I cannot predict the dog's behavior, if I get bitten sometimes, and if the palm of my hand gets licked sometimes, then you know what? I don't trust the dog. And I don't put my hand in the vicinity of the dog. I don't pet the dog. So to me, trust is not good or bad. Transparency isn't good or bad. It's just either it's predictable or it's not predictable. So as a trainer, and I'm sure you know this, you know, with your business and how you run, you know, Early to Rise, you want to be as predictable as possible. I get emails every single day. That is predictable. If I don't get an email from
yeah.
you, I go, hey, what happened?
Absolutely. That's, you know, one thing that we encounter all the time is that we put out a daily issue, and part of it is it arriving there in the morning. And, you know, sometimes if it's 12 o'clock and we haven't gotten something out, we'll get a flood of emails. Hey, where's my Early to Rise issue? What's going on over there?
Exactly. And it's transparency, the concept of it, to me, is the most powerful way to promote, because it's allowing people who are going to listen to you to see everything. Kurt Vonnegut, the author, he said, you know, we are what we pretend to be. So we must be very careful about what we pretend to be. So if I'm pretending to be a trainer, even if what I'm saying is invalid, at least I'm showing you what I'm pretending to be, and you can decide whether or not it's worth the $20. That's what transparency is. It's not done enough in marketing.
Yeah.
People
well, how do you be transparent in a way which holds people's interest?
Well, I'll tell you the easiest way. Become, you know, show your shortcomings. Become self-effacing. I'll give you an example. Back in the year 2002, I had a website that was generated in 5 to 8 years every single month after month, and that was marketing with postcards. I was laughed at because it was a physical course, and many of the colleagues on the internet that I had at the time and still do, they said, there's no way you can sell a physical course for $247 during a time when only ebooks were there. Mm-hmm. There was audio on the page. There was a picture of me holding up an opt-in box. There were all these, print this page, the three most important words on a website. All these, you know, innovations were there, but back then it wasn't innovative. People would say, hey, that stuff doesn't work. Well, it did work. And so the way I was transparent is the next phase was to go from postcards to traffic conversion, which is how I'm known. And so I took my shortcoming. I don't know how to create traffic. I'm not really very good at that, how to create traffic. I'm good at converting, but I'm not really good at creating.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I was transparent is, you know, learn how to make five figures month after month, attracting less than 100 visitors a day. And I started off by saying, hey, look, I'm pathetic at driving traffic to my website, but I'm really good at converting traffic.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, if you want to learn the insights on how to do that, then come listen to this, you know, there were two 2-hour classes I taught, and it was a very expensive teleconference back then.
It's like you don't have to be the expert on everything. You need to be the expert on something.
Well, you don't have to be passionate about everything, mm-hmm. but you do have to be passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
You can get anything you want, but you can't get everything you want. So I believe in, you know, talking about a shortcoming and figuring out what those are. And it's easy to find. Just think about your obstacles like we talked about earlier. So transparency, the easiest way to be transparent and be believed is, first and foremost, talk about what you're not good at. And I have a saying, and I really got the idea from John Ashraf. He said, find people who play at things that you have to work at. And that's, you know, I outsource the things that I'm dispassionate about. Whatever I don't like to do, I just outsource it. So whatever you think that you're not good at, I would talk about that first. And I think that you will be believed. I've seen a lot of copy written at Early to Rise with that same, you know, concept. I don't know if it's been intended or not, but it really works for me because I read every word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex and Patrick, I want to be transparent right now and show that Alex, in fact, is very predictable because I just went and checked and promotewithpassion.com is working now. And so people that want to follow up on what Alex has been talking about can go to promotewithpassion.com. I apologize, Alex, for the earlier interruption.
Chris, let me tell you, it is fun being co-transparent with you.
Great.
You know, I always start my speeches that way. I'm going to be transparent with you. And many times, if I do a workshop, I'll have people just write their questions on this butcher paper. We'll tape it to the wall. And at the end of the day, I would have crossed out every single question and have answered them all. And if anyone wants a great way to do a workshop on your own passion, just do that. Say, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? And just have them, you know, proclaim, you know, to you what they want to hear. And let that take an hour. And the rest of the 7 hours is just you answering the questions that have been written down and you cross them out on the wall. That's total transparency. Total transparency. Because they get to see the way you think. And so this particular concept, you know, the virtual book tour system, I cannot tell you everything and how it works in 5 minutes or even an hour. But I can do it in 2 hours. And the reason we charge $20, Patrick, is because
it makes them get on the phone.
Yeah. It makes them get on the phone. And we have denoted, we have found buying behavior. It eradicates tire kicking behavior and it brings people in. Even a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a powerful teleconference. If you charge a dollar, that will bring in people who are really interested about your passion. I'd recommend everyone do at least a teleseminar a month. I do 3 a week, but do a teleseminar a month. And after your first 5, if you haven't done one, because I recommend you do your first 5 for free, I recommend that you charge a buck and see who shows up. And you have just gone pro the moment you did that.
Yeah, Alex, I know another one of the principles you teach is the importance of consistency. Could you explain to the listeners what you mean by that?
Well, it's a great concept. Really, I was originally introduced to it by Robert Cialdini, who's a colleague and friend and a mentor. And he has what's called the Cialdini six principles of influence and ethical influence. And consistency is one of those principles. When you're consistent over and over and over again, when you show up in time, you know, my mother will show up on time over and over and over again. She'll always show up on time, so she's consistent. If you show up 15 minutes early, like my father-in-law, right, then he's consistent. And so I trust that behavior. He's always consistent 15 minutes early. I have a friend who's chronically late but he's still consistent. So if you're going to be transparent and someone, you're going to get someone's trust, then the worst thing you can do is be inconsistent. In other words, be transparent sometimes versus not be transparent other times. I want everyone on this call to go to promotewithpassion.com and spend $20.
Mm-hmm.
I am proud of that, what's about to happen on the 17th of August. I want everyone to do it. Okay, that's being consistent with the transparency. Hey, $20, I'm going to try to sell you something when you're there, and just you be the judge.
But they're also going to get a lot of value from, you know, that call itself. You know, you wouldn't charge, knowing you and knowing the person that you are, I know that you wouldn't, you know, charge any money if it wasn't going to deliver the value.
It delivers the value, and my, the way I'm trying to cause a new insight, if you haven't heard this before, it's okay to promote and train simultaneously. Okay, so it's okay to do that. You can give yourself permission to do that. In fact, I think if you have a passion, it's your duty to do that. It's your absolute duty. So the thing, you know, my feet are held to the fire that I have a guarantee. And the guarantee is 365 days for $20. So if for any reason I don't deliver to get the money back, you get your money back if you're listening. I encourage you to do the exact same thing if you're training. Allow someone to come in with very little risk until they've grown to trust you and they found that your transparency holds true, it's consistent, and then all of a sudden you have an ongoing student, possibly a graduate assistant, and then possibly a colleague and partner. That's my goal. My goal is to have students, then affiliates, then partners. And some of my most profitable partnerships were, they were once students, then affiliates. I was a student of many people, you know, that I can think of right now. I was then their affiliate and then a partner. An Indian spiritual leader once said, be realistic, plan for a miracle. I think you can plan for a miracle of inviting people in to your world, giving them just a little bit of a hint of your passion, charging for it. Now you've gone pro. Now you've made money. I just can't get the confusion over what,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with charging. For, especially if you're really good at your passion, and then take them to another level. For me, it's a $1,300 course, but I don't like to leapfrog. I don't like to go from zero to 1,300. I go from zero to $20 to 1,300, and I got 2 hours to decide if that makes sense for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, for our listeners who aren't satisfied with their passions as a hobby and are finally ready to go pro, is there another example that you could give us to show them how to do that?
Well, the best example was I observed something that was egregiously obvious, you know, in the marketplace, which was this, the book selling model. You know, if the traditional book selling or distribution model is obsolete. It's about 130 years old and it just doesn't work. And I was turning the corner into a parking lot to have dinner, and across from that restaurant was a bookstore in the year 2002. It was September of 2002, and Al Gore was having a book signing. Former president, former vice president Al Gore. And so, God, it was the parking lot was packed. I had to park like, you know, five blocks away just to get in. And so after I ate dinner with a high school buddy of mine, I just stepped over to the bookstore, and there was someone behind the counter. And I asked her, I said, how many books did you sell? And she said, man, we sold a couple hundred. It was the best book tour ever.
Are you kidding me?
A couple hundred books is the former vice president of the United States.
Wow.
So I figured there's got to be a better way. And boom, that was the seed. See, there's got to be a better way. There's like an urgent problem in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And it was an observation. All great product ideas come from this. So I thought, you know what? I'm pretty good at teleseminar. So I took what I was already really good and passionate about, right? And I said, you know, I could probably have more people, even, you know, with someone who's not so well known as the former vice president, come to a bridge line, listen to the book signing or to the book tour. We call it a virtual book tour. We can ask questions of people who are coming in, get their email and first name and their email address so we can, you know, send back the invitation to, you know, come on board and listen to us. I did this with Jen and Chris Atwood while I was in Singapore. AskPassionTest.com. You can check out the page. And I've done literally dozens of these. And so rather than do what Al Gore has done and many other authors have done, when they're selling, you know, the average number of books sold at a physical book signing is about four or five books. and you can't make a living that way.
Wow.
So invite people to a bridge line, have the author explain the book, because that's where all the nectar is, and then you sell more books. You record it, you transcribe it, and now you have a way to sell more of those books. So information, anyone who's an author right now or has an information course that they want to sell, the virtual book tour is the easiest way and the fastest way to sell more of that without, robbing your pocketbook. So that's what the virtual book tour system is. That's how it came about. It was from an idea of observing that there's something not working in the marketplace. And, what's very interesting is it was a little idea. I don't think it was a big idea. The big ideas kill passion. It was a little idea. How can I do this a little better and have the little guy,
And this is a system that, anybody could implement. You don't need to be a former vice president to hold or host a virtual book tour.
My passion is to give the big company or big name strategies to the little guy and to the little gal in the marketplace so that they can tap into that same level of power. In corporate America, things don't move as fast. I don't have corporate clients because the decision is very difficult to secure. So I'd rather have a one or two person operation, make a very speedy decision, and then give them the same capabilities that big companies have. So, I've done this with Random House, I've done it with, other publishing houses, and the most successful ones, virtual book tours, have come from individual authors that weren't as well known, and yet that one book tour that they had that was virtual, instead of going bookstore to bookstore, they just listened in a teleconference, just like this one, they got to sell more books. So that, my passion again is training. If you have any passion that's similar, find what's not working in the marketplace and see if you can convert that to be more efficient, to get more done faster, better than with less effort. I just call it the virtual book tour system. You can take that same story and find something that's not working and make it work for you and make your first buck.
Absolutely. So what could you share, if you wouldn't mind, can you share three things with our listeners now that they could begin doing to use their passions to create an abundant life?
I said it before. One thing is be an apprentice. Find someone who is a living manifestation of your passion. Earl Nightingale of the Nightingale Conan, he said, "We are what we think about." I agree with that. I also agree that we are who we think about. And we are who we think about. Who should be your mentor? And so if there's someone you're thinking about because he or she is living the type of life and sharing your same passions, find that person and ask to be an apprentice.
Yeah.
If you're fortunate enough to be paid apprentice, I've been a free apprentice to many, many people. So, that's number one. Number two, turn pro. The transition from amateur to professional, again, $1. $1. Not $1 million, but $1. So turn pro. Focus on making your first dollar, not your first million. And then the third thing, I mentioned it before, seek out roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
Find those things that oppose your goals. And then for each opposing thing, if you have 100 of them, pick 5 of the biggest, juiciest ones. Barbara D'Angelo talks about, make them really juicy, ones that there is no way out. You couldn't find a way to dissolve it. And then of those 5 opposing things, those 5 roadblocks, there's definitely a strategy to dissolve it, to break it down, and to break through. So apprenticeship, turning pro, and the concept of making your first dollar, and then the third thing I would say, seek the roadblocks, seek them out.
And that's just one thing, I believe strongly in all three of those principles, but especially in apprenticeship, and I think that's one thing, I think we should impart on the listeners here is that, apprenticeships aren't hard to come by, and, many times people are flattered and more than willing to help somebody looking for an apprenticeship or to be guided in that direction.
If you look at the story of Edison, he had an apprentice. I think his name was Barnes. And he just set out an intention. He said, "I'm going to be Thomas Edison's partner." And he was. He ended up, becoming his partner. I believe it's in Think and Grow Rich, the story. Some of the greatest stories in history started with apprenticeships. Napoleon Hill worked free for, I don't know how many years, for Andrew Carnegie. He was an apprentice. And so if you become an apprentice of someone whom you admire, respect, and shares your passion, it is amazing how much they will contribute to your lives. Because so welcome it. But I think the greatest fear, Patrick, is seeking those people out and not having the guts just to ask the question, may I work for you for free?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, what are you going to do for me? And my answer is anything.
Anything you want.
Anything mm-hmm. for free. I just want to become an apprentice. And so that, I think, is the most overlooked area in business today. And if I had to do it all over again, you know, regardless of how much money I made, anything I ever go into, I'm doing it right now into real estate. I know very little about real estate. I am working for free for a real estate trainer
mm-hmm.
who teaches people how to buy and sell real estate, multifamily properties. I don't know a thing about it, so I'm an apprentice for free. Of course, he's trying to get from me as much marketing stuff as possible, but that's mm-hmm. part of the deal, you know?
It's a trade-off.
It's a good trade-off. So apprenticeship of the three, between turning pro and seeking roadblocks, I think the first step is becoming an apprentice and for, with someone whom you respect and admire, having the same type of passion.
Well, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise believes strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. What is your current most important project, and what intention would you like Healthy and Wealthy and Wise, along with the readers and listeners, to hold for you?
The most important thing at this moment is validating the concept of the virtual book tour system. And the virtual book tour system is nothing more than turning the book tour industry's book signings on its head. It's very difficult to sell and promote books unless you're a big-time author and you're signed up with a big-time publisher, because it's not structured for the little person, for the person who doesn't have the funds. You can take it into your own hands. You can have teleseminars, make them virtual book tours, and you can have many, many, many of them. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you can sell more books than many top-selling authors. Chris, do you mind if I give the replay to Ask Passion Test, because that was a pretty good book tour we did together. Do you mind if I give the replay a page?
Please do.
Okay, it's askpassiontest.com/replay. askpassiontest.com/replay. Look how nimble and powerful this concept is. The total cost of it was probably less than $150. You know, everything included. And really, most of the cost was just in toll. For me, I mean, just the toll call from Singapore, because I made the call from Singapore on a mobile phone. So it's very, very little cost. There's someone who records the call. You can transcribe the call if you want, and it's a great little way to ethically bring people into your world and explain your book. If you have a book, you can't make a lot of money writing books, but you can make a ton of money explaining books. That's why people go to an art gallery doing an exhibition. The artist is explaining, you know, the picture or the portrait or the piece of art. So when an author explains the book, just as Janet and Chris did so eloquently in the 70 minutes we shared together, you'll see the power of it, and that's the most important project I'm working on. The easiest way to get access, again, and it's $20, go back to transparency and consistency, $20, promotewithpassion.com. If it means enough to you to risk $20 for 2 hours, and you don't like what you hear, just ask for your money back. If it's worthwhile, then go get registered now. I've set up everything in advance for this call so I can prove two things. Number one, you can transform a passion into a career. And number two, the context of how it's done. Little bits and pieces. You don't go from zero to $1,300, which is the course that I'm teaching in October and November. You go from zero to 20 in little bite-sized chunks. And I want everyone who gets on the call to observe what I'm doing versus just listening to the content. Just look at it from an aerial view, and I think it'll be very instructive. I encourage everyone to go. That's the most important thing I'm doing right now. Hopefully, just like Michael Dell, when you call up Dell Computer, they ask you, what can I build for you today, right? I want to one day say, what can I publish for you today?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll hopefully be one of the models for the future for book publishing. What an important industry. Yet not enough wonderful books get out because of the way the industry and distribution process is set up right now.
Okay. Well, I know I'm going to go ahead and sign up for that right now. I know that for $20, you know, what do I have to lose? And we're gearing up for our own book launches around here with Michael Masterson's third book, 7 Years to 7 Figures. So I'm sure I'll be able to learn a lot from not only the call, but the course itself, which I plan on buying.
Absolutely. We've done two virtual book tours with Michael Masterson, so you guys know the power of it, and those were fabulous interviews, so if it's possible, maybe we can give that information later on after this call, because they're very good interviews.
Absolutely. And I know we're reaching an end here, unfortunately, but what single idea would you like to leave our listeners with tonight?
The most important idea is to focus on going pro, and that you're just $1 away from monetizing your passion, and to feel good about it. It's interesting to me, when I was coaching individually, there's a lot of guilt structures around money and monetizing passion, as if it's a sin. And, you know, I looked up the word passion, and I've looked it up many, many times, and the etymology of the book, the origin of the word passion is it's a late Latin word from passive. And it's interesting, but it really means to suffer. It means to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And its origins were around the time of Christ. And what's interesting to me is I feel it's about suffering if you don't live into your passion. Living your passion is just the opposite of suffering. In fact, there are like competing intentions. If you look into the American Heritage Dictionary, you'll see the root word is to suffer, which is interesting. And then there's a definition that says boundless enthusiasm for something. And, of course, enthusiasm comes from the Greek word entheos, which means inspired by God, you know, excitement for interest. So whether it's by God or by the universe or whatever your spiritual persuasion, I think allowing, you know, in the beginning we started with my personal and my professional passions collided and my personal won out. Okay, in looking at passion, if you look at the root word to suffer and looking at this, one of its definitions, which is boundless enthusiasm, I hope for everyone listening, my wish for you is to have boundless enthusiasm to monetize your passion and know that there's nothing that you need to suffer about it. There's nothing involved in that is going to be negative towards making money with your passion. In fact, it's the greatest single thing that you can do every single day, and you can do it all day and still keep it going. I'm blessed for being able to do that, but that's kind of funny to say I'm blessed for following my passion, following my bliss, and making money from it. I think everyone, it's their birthright to do that. So I will continue to say that as long as I'm breathing. Please, following your passion and doing it and making money from it is the most noble thing you can do. And then I think, for me personally, it's my duty to teach it. So learning it, making money from it, and then teaching it, those are the two things I want to leave everyone with today. And if there's any guilt surrounding passion, it's easy to eradicate that after your first dollar, because all of a sudden, wow, someone cared enough to pay money. And when that happens, it's the first day of the rest of your life. Magical things happen. And I hope everyone agrees is listening right now.
I know I agree. Well, you know, this has been, you know, a real pleasure, and, you know, I'd like you to actually give out that URL again so people could sign up for that call.
It's promotewithpassion.com. Here's what's interesting, Patrick, and, you know, we talked about this with Chris. I got that domain name, Promote with Passion, and Promote with Passion was available less than a week ago, and people say, that I know, hey, all the domains have been used up. Everyone has all possible great domain names. Well, Promote with Passion is a great domain name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for this call, and it was available. How many other opportunities are under your nose right now that fit into your passion that you may be missing out on because you thought it was taken by somebody
else?
Yeah,
you can't just assume that all the good ideas are gone.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's so symbolic of the fact that there may be a passion right now, or the residue of one, that can be monetized, and I encourage everyone to do their best to become an apprentice, to make their first dollar, and to seek the roadblocks that's keeping them to live the life of their dreams, making money with their passion. It's cliche, but it's only cliche because it's important.
Absolutely.
And you know what? We made it, because I've had a storm. There was a thunder. It was like a tropical storm here. And I've been talking to you on a voiceover IP, and it's been going in and out all day. And for the past you know, 65 minutes. We made it. So
wow.
I'm so grateful that, you know, I don't know if I came, you know, across clearly or not, but I've been struggling here with this phone connection because I'm in the middle of nowhere, just a small town right out of Cabo. So we made it, and I'm grateful we did it.
Yeah, and you were able to, you know, join us on your vacation, which, you know, we greatly appreciate.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for co-hosting this call. And Alex, it's just, as always, amazing to be with you. And I'm grateful for that thunderstorm. There were a couple of times when it was a little shaky, but those were very brief. And I have to say, you know, those who are listening, who know Janet and I, who've been listening to these calls, you know, we've been fortunate enough to work with many of the greatest trainers in the world today. And one of the reasons that we were so excited about having you, Alex, on this call is because of this question that people keep asking us is, okay, now I'm clear on my passions, but how do I make a living? How do I support myself in it? And I have to say that in my experience, you are the best, the most effective, the most powerful trainer that I know of in this area of how to monetize your passions, how to be able to create a living doing your passions. And I'm so grateful to you that you have offered to train our listeners to in how to begin doing that in using this virtual book system as the training ground, if you will. And I just once again want to encourage everyone who's listening to go to promotewithpassion.com, take advantage of this incredible opportunity to apprentice with Alex Mandojan. And if this is a question that you've been asking yourself, how do I support myself living my passion, then you can't afford to miss this call. And Alex, thank you again for taking time away from your family and your vacation to be with us on this passion interview. We so appreciate you.
Chris, thank you. Patrick, thank you. You're an awesome, awesome interviewer, and I learned so much from what you do, so thank you for being part of it.
Thanks a lot, and as a matter of fact, I am entering my credit card right now to sign up for the call, so
okay.
You sold me.
I will not disappoint you.
All right.
Great. Good. And thank you again, Patrick. I so appreciate your co-hosting the call. And again, for our listeners, be sure and go to earlytorise.com, and you'll be able to see what Patrick and his team is doing and how they can help you in living a healthy, wealthy, and wise life. Thank you, Patrick.
Well, thank you. This was a great pleasure to do this.
Great. And for our listeners, be sure to join us on August 8th when we'll be interviewing Dan Millman, the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, which is an amazing book. Any one of you who haven't read it, this is a must-read book. And if you haven't yet seen the movie called The Peaceful Warrior, which is based on Dan's book, then you want to be sure and do that before the interview coming up on August 8th. And then on August 22nd, we'll be interviewing Scott Martineau, co-founder of ConsciousOne.com, which is one of the most successful websites on the Internet with over 600,000 members. And we'll be talking with Scott about his new book, The Power of You, which will be released on August 15th. And remember, as always, you can check the schedule of our upcoming interviews simply by going to www.healthywealthynasinancywise.com/schedule. Again, www.healthywealthynasinancywise.com/schedule. And Alex gave it out during this interview. I'll mention it one more time for those of you that would like to listen to the example of the virtual book tour teleseminar that Alex did with Janet and myself on the Passion Fest. You can do that by going to www.askpassiontest.com/replay. That's askpassiontest.com/replay. So until August 8th, thank all of you for joining us and for your commitment to living your passions and giving your gifts. And I'll open up the lines now. Up the lines and we'll say good night. And thank you all for being with us.
Good night.
Good night.